Lloyd, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, please. So tell Zach he can come next week.
I'll let him out.
Yeah, tell him the following week. That gives him 2 weeks to prepare. All right. Okay. All right, you ready? Here we go. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise up together with them in the cloud. Is that right? Did I skip a line? 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. There's three things I'd like to point out here, and then we're going to go someplace else. First of all, it says those who have fallen asleep in him. In him. It doesn't say everyone who has, quote, accepted Christ. That's one thing. The second thing is, notice that the dead in Christ will rise first. And if you have a friend who's, you know, rabid about the rapture, just ask him, well, when is the resurrection? And you'll find out that they have no idea that there even is a resurrection. And you point out to them from this passage that before people are caught up, they are raised from the dead. And when it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first, that does not mean caught up. It means like Jesus rose on the third day. He didn't rise up into the air. He rose up from the dead. And that's what the word means in the Greek. They rise first as a resurrection. And then they're caught up. And I think you'll find when you talk to your rabid friend that they had no idea that there has to be a resurrection before there is any catching up. And the third thing that I want to point out and stress is the phrase here, we will be with the Lord forever. Say it with me. We will be with the Lord forever. Forever. With the Lord. That's what I want to accent. All right, what that means. All right, now, when we go to Revelation 17, 14, it's talking about the 10 kings and Antichrist fighting against the Lamb. And in Revelation 17, 14, this is what it says. They will make war against the Lamb. This is the ten kings and Antichrist. But the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his... Now, notice the expression, with him. With him. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 4 we just read, it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, see, in the rapture teaching, the assumption is that everyone who makes a profession of Christ will be with the Lord. But Revelation 17, 14 tells us the qualification, what you have to be if you're going to be with the Lord. That plain? We're talking now about what you need to be if you're going to be with the Lord. All right, then it says, those who are with him are what?
Called.
First called. That's the first thing. Second? chosen. That's the second thing. And finally, faithful. I always listen to see if anybody's on the same track. And sure enough, Mark Overton came out with faithful. Faithful is the most important thing. So if we're going to be with the Lord, it's not enough to say, I accepted Christ. You know, that's fine. You did. That is not a biblical expression, by the way. The biblical expression, you might know, is in the first chapter of John. And it says, as many as received him. You have to receive Christ. You just don't accept, you know, like, well, I accept that he's the Son of God. I accept that he's my Savior. I accept that he's Lord. You have to come to the man. You can't just make a doctrinal statement. You have to come to the man, as many as received him. And those are the ones then, when they received him, they become children, not sons, children of God. That's the Greek term, technia. That's important because there's a big difference between a child and a son. There's different Greek terms. So, all right. Those who are with the Lord are called, chosen, and faithful. How many remember the term, the expression, many are called, but few are chosen? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then when we get to the faithful, they really are few. And that's why people are looking for a rapture that carries up everyone that's made a doctrinal confession of Christ is not scriptural at all. That's a phony baloney. That's just to make people feel good that they'll be out of trouble. If you're going to be caught up, what has to be true first of all? Resurrected. You need to listen to the teacher. You have to be resurrected first if you're going to be caught up. But prior to that time, you must be called, chosen, and faithful. Then you're eligible to be resurrected and then caught up. I had the order wrong a minute ago, but that's the order. Called, chosen, faithful, resurrected, and number five, caught up. So there's a lot more to it than saying, oh, maybe this afternoon we'll all be caught up, tra-la, tra-la. Ooh, such stuff. All right, let's look at Romans 1:6. Yeah, you were right on, Mark, with that term faithful. So that's a very prominent term in this. That's the third great criterion. And so many fail at that point. You look very serious this morning there, David. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, that tells us two things. Can you see them? First of all, it divides mankind into two groups. What are they? Those who are called and those who are not called. And you see, we've been so indoctrinated in democratic humanistic thinking that the idea that some people are called by God and some are not is anathema to us. We just cannot accept that. It's not fair. Well, God and the kingdom of God are not fair. They work with chosen people, called people. That's it. Israel was a called nation, and they're not better than anybody else, but that's up to God. If he wants to call a nation, he calls a nation. But it ain't fair. No, it was not fair to the Chinese. It was not fair to other people in Africa and other places living at that time. But God did it. So you know how you respond to it? If God says it, you believe it, and that settles it. Worry about the fear later. We know one thing, God is righteous. That cannot be questioned after Calvary. But he's not fair. He does what he will with people. All right. What's the second thing? We noticed that it divided mankind into two groups, and what else? See, we're not called to go to heaven. We're not called to be saved. There's no scripture that we're called to be saved. Okay? Surprise, surprise. What are we called to? To belong to Jesus Christ. See the difference there? The atmosphere today in evangelical preaching is, oh, I'm saved. Now I'm going to go to heaven. We're not called to go to heaven. We're called to belong to Jesus. That's one thing that we truly are called to be. And not everybody is called to that. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Then we look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. It's all right, April. It's going to come out fine, so don't worry. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. So again, we see the division of people. And it's an arbitrary thing of God done from the foundation of the world. He just calls you. Well, I know he called me, and I'll bet you know that he called you. It's something, and you can look at people, and you can go out and evangelize all you want to, but if people... I'm going to back up on that statement before I get into that. If we look at... I knew I was going to need these scriptures, so I wrote them all down. Wasn't that nice of me? I want the one. Oh, I know. It's 2 Peter 3:9. I want to show you something here before we get into Calvinism. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Okay? Lest we get into the fact that some are called to be saved. The Bible doesn't use that term. The calling is to something else, which I'll mention in a moment, God willing. But everyone to come to repentance. So it's God's will that everyone be saved. So don't... let me confuse you on that, please. It's God's will that everyone be saved. And so that's why it says in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. All right, now notice, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever. Has nothing to do with calling. But now we're talking about being saved. We're going to talk about something else in a minute. Now we're talking about being saved. And that means that you will make it over through the kingdom age to the new heaven and new earth and be on the new earth. You'll be on the new earth. In other words, you will not be cast out of God's sight. You'll not be put in the lake of fire. That's what being saved means. You're saved from wrath. And it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. See, that way you don't get over into people are predestined to be saved. There's nothing in the Bible that says we're predestined to be saved or called to be saved. God is willing that all repent. Is that right? Are you tracking?
Yes.
Before we go in any further with this calling business. All right. We'll be saved. So that way the gospel is preached to every creature. We don't go saying, oh, this one looks like he's called. We don't do that. You preach the gospel to every creature. And God decides who's called. But all can be saved. Now, let me explain to you the difference between being called and being saved. You are called. We're calling. of God. Salvation is for everyone. But the calling of God is not for everyone. The calling of God is for the royal priesthood. I don't think I've ever heard that preached, and it's so plain in the Bible. Those who are called are not just saved. They are called to be priests of God. We don't think about that. Jesus, our high priest, and what we are, I don't know. We're called to be priests. Now, let me show you that in the Bible. It's a good thing it's in the Bible. All right, now here we go. 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Now, I want this to soak in because you don't hear this all the time. And this is it's so important to us, it's ridiculous. It really is important for the saints to know that they're not just among the saved. You're not just among the saved. People are saved from wrath, to not be destroyed in the lake of fire. That's what we're saved from. But those who are called are saved. But that is not what they're called to. Oh, I'm probably confusing everybody. Well, let me read this first. We'll see if that helps. But you are a chosen people. Now, that's not used in the same term as I'm going to be using in a minute, because these terms are fluid. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Royal means ruling. A ruling priesthood. Now let me ask you something. If you are called, and I assume everyone in this church is called, what are you? You're on the road to becoming a ruling priest. That's why you were called. You were not called to be saved. God is willing that everyone be saved, which we read in 2 Peter. You are called for a very special thing. And that's why Paul never addressed Christian people as Christians. Never once. How did he address them?
Saints.
And what does saint mean?
Holy.
And why are they holy? Because they are a royal priesthood. To the saints in Rome, to the saints in Colossae, to the saints in Galatia, to the holy ones in Rome, to the holy ones in Colossae, to the holy ones in Galatia, to the priests. And that's why Jesus said, "You are not of the world, as I am not of the world." And then we say, God so loved the church that he gave his only son. No, God so loved the world. The world. God is willing that all repent. Preach the gospel to every creature. But where the church is falling down today is it's only preaching salvation. It's only preaching, try to get everybody saved. But for the members of the royal priesthood who have to be built up into the image of Christ, they don't always get their share. The money, the time, the energy are spent on getting more people saved and more people saved and more people saved. But after that, they're not made disciples because the word is go out and get more saved. You're in here now. Don't just sit in the pew. Go out and get more people saved. But when do they get built up into the image of Christ? Well, it's not important. Go out and get more people saved. See, that's wrong. And God's reversing that now because, and I'm in absolute agreement with Leslie Kegel. He's prophesying the truth of God if there ever was. There's going to be a great revival in America in the coming days. And I've been telling you that for 30 years. I imagine, Doug, you heard me say that. There's going to be a great revival in America in the coming days, but it will be in the midst of trouble. And in that time, the church is going to find out what it is. What is it? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Now we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. See? That's what we're called to be. That you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's you! That's you! You are the holy priesthood. You've been called to be priests of God. And that doesn't mean that you just say, oh, good. You can see the difference between being believing and being baptized, and then what Paul talked about, as over his whole life he was dragged through one knothole after another, till he says, I have the sentence of death in myself. That's a lot different than believing and being baptized. There's these two things operating in the New Testament at the same time. One is that is addressed to the whole world. You can be saved by believing in Jesus. You won't perish, meaning that, well, I won't go into that. It has to do with immortality, but I won't go into that. But I just want to keep this simple in your mind. There's the world, and the people from the world can be saved by believing and being baptized, but that's as far as it goes. Then there are those who are called to be in the image of Jesus, Romans 8, 28 and 29, but all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. That's a lot different than being saved from wrath. That's a personal transformation, and it can't happen without the operation of the church, and that's why God gave gifts to the church, is to build the people up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's got to happen. Now, God's going to smite the United States with judgment. You better believe that, because we're preaching a lawless grace and a non-scriptural rapture, and the whole thing is a mess, and the government's a mess. But God wants to call out of this mess people who will pay the price and go on with Jesus. And I mean, you've got to set aside your life and nothing short of that, not to be saved, but to become a royal priest, because once you're called, that's only the beginning, that you have to pass to the chosen and then you have to pass to the faithful. And the number of people keeps getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Hallelujah. Yeah. Makes me happy to think about it. All right. Now, all right. So you see that you're priests. I hope you believe it. All right. Now, to be with the Lord, we have to be three things. What? Called, chosen, and faithful. Well, you've done all right so far. Maybe we'll pass now to how you get into the chosen. The chosen. All right. Now, to pass from the ranks of the called to the ranks of the chosen, you have to be proven worthy of the kingdom of God. Now, we don't often hear that. We hear people say, only Jesus is worthy, and no one else is worthy. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you'll break out your computer and go up in your word search and check out worthy, you'll be amazed at how many times it says that we must be proven worthy of the kingdom of God. And in order to pass from the ranks of the called to the ranks of the chosen, which are few, Jesus said many are called or invited, same thing, but few are chosen. So we're coming down to a fewer number of people, fewer chosen. Do you want to be chosen? If you don't, I don't know what happens to a priest who doesn't go on with God. But there's one verse I can think of right off the bat. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. Revelation 3, 4. This is about the priesthood. You know what I think? I can't think of a verse right now that says this, but I think you just go back to the ranks of the saved. You lose your crown. And remember, it says in Revelation 3, be careful that no one take your crown. And that's what happens. That's what happens. If you don't, okay, you start on the road, you're called, you feel that call within yourself, you're serving God with all your might, and then you quit. Get distracted. You can get distracted. That's why it says, let no man take your crown. Because people will do that. People will do that. All right, we're in verse 4. You have a few people in Sardis. Now, Sardis, as I remember, was a big church. Yeah, you have a reputation of being alive, and people judge a life of a church by the number of people. So they were a big church. Jesus said, you have a few people, few, in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. That's an allegorical way of saying that they're not confessing and repenting of their sins. You have to walk at the Calvary Road. You have to walk in always ready to repent, always ready to turn away from sin. Yeah, that's the normal Christian life, is being always ready to repent. As soon as the Holy Spirit shows you something, repent, turn away from it, repent, turn away from it. That's how you keep your robe clean. All right? They will walk with me dressed in white. Now, what does that mean? See how sharp you are. Come on, Melissa, with that hat, you ought to be able to get that. Come on. It means they'll walk with me as a priest. It's the priests that are robed in white. Christ's robe, when you look at it, sometimes it looks pure white. That's when he's in his priestly mode. And you look at it again, and it's got all kinds of purple in it. That's his kingly robe. Yeah, it changes right where you're looking at it. It's white, and then it's purple. Well, that's true of us. We're a royal priesthood. And to walk with Christ in white. Now here's this big church in Sardis. People run all over the place. It's run by human talent, human energy. They're all in love with each other. And out of that, there's a few people. That's how much Christ cares about numbers. Good thing too for me, huh? All right. For they are worthy. That's one of the many places that term is used. Worthy. You have to be worthy to pass from the ranks of the called to the ranks of the chosen. You remember the thousands of people left Jesus. He says, have not I chosen you 12? Out of the whole bunch of them that came to get the free meal, and he tells them about his body and blood, which to the members of the chosen, that's their food and drink. That's what they live by. And the Jews are arguing among themselves, how can this man give us his body and blood? So they left. And so those that stayed, they said to him, you're the only show in town. And he said, have not I chosen you 12? All these other people, where'd they go? They were hoping for a free meal. That's what they're hoping for Christ. Boy, when you come to Christ, you've got to be prepared to die. The root to life is death. We die and we live each day. We die and we live each day. We die and we live each day. We have the sentence of death in ourselves. Hey, you know, you're going for a big prize. The royal priesthood is shown in the book of Revelation as the holy city. That's the royal priesthood. The holy city itself is the royal priesthood. And it governs all the works of God's hands, and it brings God's presence. There's no church there. It says the God and the Lamb are the church of it, are the temple of it. There's no church. There's no religion. There's just the royal priesthood. And to the nations of saved people, the sheep, the royal priesthood brings to them the rule, the blessing, the healing. Those trees of life or tree of life around the river, that's all talking about people. They're people, the trees of life. We're being made trees of life. That's in Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. Isaiah 12 says, from your belly will flow rivers of living water. See, Revelation is a real place there, but it's symbolic. The wall is the character of the saints. The gates are pearl, meaning that it's people who have learned patience. Because pearls are made as a lamb, as a oyster, patiently binds an irritation in its shell with the pearl. And so all of this is allegorical, but it's also a real city that you can see. And you say, well, how could a thing be an allegory and also be something you can see? Well, the history of Israel is to us an allegory. We learn from it, don't we? But yet it was real people. So there's marvelous things here. But I'm telling you, they're all going to those who endure to the end. Well, who endures to the end shall be saved. That's what I mean. The words are fluid. But if you're going to make it to the royal priesthood, you have, and to be with Jesus, you have to be called and chosen. All right, I wanted to get that. Oh, man. I spent all my time getting these verses for you, and then I can't find them. I wanted some of those that talk about worthy. There's a whole bunch of them that talk about worthy. You have to be worthy of the kingdom. Well, anyway, Lloyd will find them. Maybe it's time to pass to the faithful. How many are faithful? Well, after you are proven worthy of the kingdom and pass into the ranks of the chosen, then you have to be proven faithful, and that is the rough one. Now you say, it's making it so hard that I don't care if I'm a Christian or not. I'd rather go out and play with the girls. Let me tell you something. The saints have left bloody footprints in the snow over the 2,000 years of the church era. If you should make it to be among their ranks, you're going to find people that have given their lives for Jesus. I mean, they are people. You'll see there's blood in their eye. They don't care for anything. Paul said, for 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, I have the sentence of death in myself. Imagine this old guy going on, going on, going on. Finally ending up in Rome in a jail cell saying, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, again, I say rejoice. And then we see the American Christian. They say, it's too hard. Or Brother Thompson, it's too hard. You don't love the people. It's your problem. I don't get accused of that anymore, but I used to get accused of that all the time. But then there was so much love to one another shown in this church, I guess people figured, there's something wrong here. But anyway, what is love if it's not to tell you the truth? You know, I could flatter you and tell you how wonderful you are, and you're going up in a rapture this afternoon, and don't worry about anything, because God loves you with a love that is not moved by all your sin, and he sees you through Christ. Oh, dear Lord, what a mess. And that's why our country's in the mess that it is. So if you want to be in the royal priesthood, you're going to have to pull up your diapers. I'm telling you that. Amen. It's not for people who are looking for an easy way. It's kind of like going into the special forces. Where's my friend Dimitri? I don't see him. It's kind of like going to the special forces. The other guys can horse around and play cards and everything. Special forces are out there being beat with sticks until their urine runs with blood to get them tough. And the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're going for the greatest prize in the universe. To be a part of the holy city of God that will rule. Well, how long will it rule? I'll tell you how long it will rule. That holy city, there's a new sky up there and it's filled with all kinds of colorful stars, with one for every person living on the earth, and every one of them has got the atmosphere of earth in it, and whatever patriarch governs it can decide what animals are there and what kind of Eden is there, and so on. All the stars will be inhabited. You realize people don't die. And so after a few thousand years, there'll be far more people than will fit on this gigantic new earth. And that's why God has created all these wonderful stars. And the people don't have to travel there in spaceships. They can just think themselves up there. And according to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, this is going to expand forever and ever and ever and ever. And then people that endure through this hellhole that we call the world, which David called the valley of the shadow of death, you have the opportunity to become a patriarch. I mean a patriarch. Over one of these stars, which will be larger than any star now in existence. Still there won't be room for people. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. That's what God said. And so today, God is going through the earth, as he has for 2,000 years, looking for those who are worthy. Worthy to be a patriarch and to govern millions of people and to make sure that sin never enters and that they always have peace and joy and prosperity and every kind of role and task, whether it's engineering or art or whatever it is, that people can prosper and rejoice and praise the Lord, and there'll be patriarchs governing this. And that's what God is making now. This is a very unique time in the history of the universe that God has decided to make a wife for the Word and to make children for himself and brothers for the Lord. What a unique time it is. Don't be puzzled with tablets or computers or money or sex. Between money and sex, this country is going to hell in a handbasket. Pardon my English. Money and sex. Money and sex. That's what God gave for the birth of children is being used for play, pleasure, perversion. Don't get into it. God hates it. God hates it. And as far as I'm concerned, all that homosexuality is, now I won't say for everybody, but for people, most people that could have a wife or have a husband, it's nothing but nasty behavior, and you can't say anything more profound about it than that. And our nation is like some big new thing. It's progressive. But God nailed it thousands of years ago. And so you've got to come out of this. You've got to come out of the attractions of politics. You've got to come out of everything that keeps your mind secondary to looking up with your affection on Jesus. You can still do a job. You'll do a better job. But don't count this world as anything except what it is a proving ground. As God examines people that he's going to use as patriarchs in the future. That's what it is. So you're either going to be governed or you're going to govern. So take your choice. You've got a chance to govern. If you don't take it, you're going to be governed by those who are more diligent. I knew you'd like that. So pleased that you like that. Now, I haven't gotten into the faithful. Hey, I found one of the worthy scriptures here is Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And then the next one is Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Right? You have to pass from the ranks of the called to the ranks of the chosen. Then when you're chosen, you have to be proven faithful. Well, what is there that makes a problem there? The many things that God brings you through. Very often it's deception. That's one of, see, Satan doesn't have real power. That was broken on the cross. So he acts by deception. I was talking to someone yesterday on the phone, and they were crying, and they said, "What's the matter with me? I'm all confused." And I said, and this is a seasoned Christian, and I would say one of God's chosen. And I said, "You're in passivity." Well, she never heard the term, but that's a classic Christian term for deception. When you get into it, you can't make up your mind. You go to do something, you just get into it, and you say, "I don't think that's the Lord's will." And then, so you back off. I think I'll go downtown today. So you get ready, and I think, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's not the Lord's will. And it especially happens, and Duetta will recognize this, in real estate, it's called buyer's remorse. You ever hear of that? A person gets up to plank down a few thousand bucks for a house, and they get buyer's remorse. They think, I shouldn't do this. What if I'm not always here? What if God wants to move me? You know, what if what if everything crashes? What if? And they can't move. That's passivity. That's common. It's a classic deception. And that's one of the ways he deals with the chosen. And so this person said to me, "Well, how do you get out of that?" And they were debating about buying a property. And I said, "Make a decision." I said, "Talk with every member of the family and lay out the facts." In the meanwhile, some lady had prophesied to her, which added to her confusion. She had about made her mind up, and all it took was some lady to prophesy to her that she shouldn't do that. I said, personal prophecy should never be done like that. And we put a rule here in this church, though it's not obeyed. It's not obeyed, people. Don't make personal prophecies over anybody without the presence of the elders. But it afflicts ladies, I think, more than men. I mean, I'm wrong. But it's what I call a witch syndrome. It's a desire to be supernatural and to move things. And it'll bring you into bondage, and it will bring the person into bondage. Don't make personal prophecies unless it's in the presence of the elders. And I know you may know more than all the rest of us and all that, but I'm telling you, God will not honor it. Don't do it. But anyway, she got a personal prophecy from some lady she hardly knew. And she said, "What do I do?" I said, "Discard it. It's entirely improper." I said, "The way I weigh things is I picture New York people." I went to college in New York. And I said, "And picture something that you've done on the front page of the New York Times. And how would the person, the average New Yorker, particularly cabbie drivers, although now they're mostly Muslim, but before that, where they were probably Irish and Italian, whoever they were, I said, how would they regard your behavior?" I said, "You can't twist God's arm. He's not going to." I said, "If you're double-minded, you can't get any place with God." I said, "Make a decision. Sit your family down, children, adults, all of you together, and lay out the facts of the decision. Is there a good church there?" That's the first thing I said. If you move somewhere where there's not a good church, you're stupid. because you'll just die on the vine. This is no day to live a Lone Ranger. If there's a good church there, if the house you're after is reasonably priced, they have a dog, if it's a place for the dog, if it's good for children, they've got a good youth program, and there's work there for your husband and everything. I said, are all these things true? And she said, yes. And I said, sign the contract. And she said, well, but, you know, how about this lady's prophecy? I said, forget it. Unless you want to be in bondage to the lady, and then you'll find out every time you want to do something, you have to go in and get this lady to prophesy. And that's a mess. And that's why we say, don't give personal prophecies over people unless it's in the presence of the elders. Well, you do as you please, but that's advice from a friend. And I think I've had a little experience in these things. So, I was talking about faithfulness. That's one thing. Another test of your faithfulness will be staying in a place that you can't see the purpose. You can't understand what God is doing. And I've been in there so many times. And I feel like if you ever see an archer, you know, they string they've got their bow and they string the arrow and they have it like this and then they bring it up until it gets in the bullseye and they let it go. Well, that's the way I feel so many times. I don't see the bullseye, but I'm being stretched. And it used to be fairly short periods of time. Now it's years. I have no idea what God is doing. And that's hard. You know, Lord, please explain to me what I'm doing, where I'm going. Silence. If you insist on it, keep praying, God, show me, you'll hear something false. Because he doesn't want you doing that. You can pray that God will help you to be faithful. But you can't force God to tell you, explain what he's doing. He if he did that, the enemy would take advantage of you. Don't you see? So, William Cowper, how many are familiar with William Cowper? He wrote a wonderful poem. And in that poem, he said, God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And so when God says something to you, and let's say he said you're going to be dancing among the stars, and then nothing happens. And you think, oh, I'm going to be, you know, on American Idol. Or I'm literally going to be going up there among the stars. Or I'm going to be a fifth grade teacher and go among with the kids that got stars for doing good work. You just don't know what God means. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So you wait, and you wait. And it's in the time between the vision and its fulfillment that the saints are made. And it's right there that you're proven worthy, that you're proven faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. And if you can make those three, you will have the greatest honor in the world of being a member of the royal priesthood. Shall we stand? Oh, hallelujah. Be thinking about what I said, and if you want to make a break for the altar here, God will appreciate it, I'm sure, and it may help. Just think, you've got to stick with it when you get all kinds of distractions. Got to stay with it. When you can't understand what he is doing, you've got to stand with it. When everything seems to be going wrong, you've got to be faithful. And I think all of us in here are chosen. I believe that, not only called, but chosen. But now we've got to be proven faithful. You have to be proven faithful. And boy, I'll tell you, he can drag you through one. Without mercy, he drags you through one thorn patch after another. And you just keep saying, Lord, here I am. Here's your servant. What's next? Just show me the next step. Show me the next step. You want to, don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is your chance in all of eternity to be part of the New Jerusalem. and to govern the creation of God. This is your chance. I'm sure you're chosen, so be faithful to God and don't let the uproars that are coming be straight on. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. You've chosen the dust of the earth, Lord, to be your family, to be the brothers of Christ, to be the wife of the Lamb, to be the sons of God, to be kings and priests. There's no more that you could give us. You're giving us of yourself that we might be one with you. And this world is obviously rotten at the core. Rotten at the core. Oh God, help us so that after we die and we look back on our life, we realize we were not fooled by the glitter of the world or its promises, because they're always empty. And behind them there are the fiery eyes of the master deceiver, seeing if he can deceive us into not pressing forward with our loving God. Help us, Lord, each one of us, because we're not there yet. Someday we'll be there. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Anyone else need to come? This is the time. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. We're going to sing that once more, and as we do, I want you to close your eyes and picture the Lord Jesus. Picture his great golden throne and him standing in front of it looking at you. And he's got the scepter of iron in his right hand. And on the head of it is two faces. On one is a lion, and then he turns it. The other is a lamb. And there's a purple cloud over him. That's the Father. And when you look at him, you'll see white in his robe. And then you'll see the threads of purple. He is our high priest. And he is King of Kings. He's Jesus. So keep your eyes closed once, and we're going to sing it again while you picture that in your mind. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Jesus, we crown you. We love you. We thank you. You are our King, our priest, and our Lord. And we bless your name this morning. God bless everyone and go with you and give you peace. Keep your minds and hearts on Jesus and be faithful to him. Amen.